So me personally, I'm very excited for this episode idea because in our last kind of video like this, Anna explained High School Musical to me, and that's pretty much a journey. I only knew about the first one based off of like everyone collectively knowing about it but me, but I didn't know much about the second and third ones. So also, if you like these type of videos, you should check that one out. But I'm very excited that this time I can kind of culture Santa on the ways of musical theater and specifically Wicked.
I've only seen three musicals before, and not like the original. I've seen like the movie, not the movie version necessarily. Well, yes, a bit of movie version. I've seen the Hamilton, like
well, that is like the Broadway too,
version. Disney yeah. Plus. I saw Newsies. The not the movie, like the Broadway one.
Broadway, yeah.
And then I saw the Hairspray movie.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only three. You are a much bigger connoisseur of musical theater.
I only got into it, I think, late high school-ish, so. Like, one day I don't know, I had this, like, oh, I need to watch more. And then I started, like, watching a lot of them at once. I got into many of them.
For Wicked. You saw it in, you have a really good story about Wicked, right?
Oh, this is like the, so basically at the time, I, like Santa, had only watched a few musicals, and Hamilton was one of them, but I went to New York for a vacation, and I knew like New York was a Broadway capital, and I already knew I liked songs from Broadway, so I saw local shows in the, well, shows that were showing on Broadway, and Wicked was one of them. I had not seen it previously, so like I didn't, well, it wasn't released on Disney Plus anyways, but I only knew the soundtrack basically, so I hadn't actually watched them or any recordings of it. So I didn't know what I was going into, and I was a little confused at first too, but it was the first musical I ever watched, and it was in actual New York, so it was a very exciting experience.
But do you think the movie's gonna match up after you've seen?
I feel like I have a bit of a bias towards it, and I didn't like see the original either, but I feel like I'm definitely open to the movie. It's just, no, you know, I'm gonna have an open mind when it comes to seeing the movie. I'm excited though.
We should mention the reason why we're doing this video is because the movie is coming out as of the day that we are filming. It's coming out in 2 months exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured, like, what better way to celebrate is to go to the original plot. Sorry. The original plot of Wicked the musical.
And yeah.
Have you culture me on it?
Yeah, it's coming out on November 26th. 22nd for the clarification. But yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with the movie. The casting is pretty interesting. Yeah, I think they're all very capable singers. So, like, I have no doubt on the vocals. I'm just curious as to where they're going with the movie. And they're releasing it in two parts, too. I think they're gonna base it off of, like, the movie. So, I'm pretty sure the first movie is gonna be based off of Act 1. And then where you would have an intermission in a theater, they would have Act 2 as a second movie. Which I think makes sense. Like, it's quite a lot if you're going more in-depth in the movie version.
Do you know when they're releasing the second part?
I have no idea, but I feel like by Hollywood standards, it's going to take another year.
Or even more, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, it has, like, a lot going into it, too. Yeah. I think it's good to split it up, though, because it is quite a lot to take in. Yeah. So, I guess I'll get right into it with Act 1. Basically, we start off with the first song of the musical, and that is No One Mourns the Wicked. Before we actually filmed this episode, I showed Santa a few of the songs to, like, get her acquainted, I guess. Nothing that shows spoilers or anything, but she saw No One Mourns the Wicked, so she knows about it. And basically, in Munchkin Land, which is where everything is taking place, you have all the Munchkins shouting, "No one mourns the wicked," and then they're all like, "The Wicked Witch of the West is dead." Woo!
So at the end of The Wizard of Oz, is that when it's set? Like when she,
yeah,
what basically. Is it? Like a house falls on her or something?
Like she melts away.
Oh,
but we'll
okay.
get into that later on. But yeah, so everyone's, I guess, rejoicing at the Wicked Witch being dead, and then Glinda the Good is like, "Oh, I'm so happy she's dead. Let that wickedness wash away. And then, like, let us rejoice for a new era, blah, blah, blah." And so somebody asks, "Oh, didn't you know the Wicked Witch, Glinda?" And she's like, Oh, yeah, I kind of did, but I only knew her because we went to the same school. So, and it starts off like that. And then the whole musical is her, I guess, talking about the high school times. And you learn what happened, but from the point of view of Elphaba, who is the Wicked Witch. So, I guess I'll start off with like the beginning of the flashback when Glinda starts telling the story. So, Elphaba is a high school girl, and her dad is the governor of Munchkinland. And basically, her mother, while she was traveling, she kind of had an affair with a traveling
Oh
salesman.
my.
So her baby ends up being green, and so that's why her dad, the father, is not really her biological father and kind of doesn't like her for it. Like, he despises her a bit for that. Yeah, and so, like, I think they eventually came to terms with it, but now he's kind of sent her away to this new school, and that is called Shiz. She's? Shiz? I forgot how it's pronounced. But that is the name of the school that both Glinda and Elphaba soon will attend. And so, when Elphaba goes into the school, she sees this whole lot of people, and they're all like staring at her because she's green. And so, she's kind of made fun of for her greenness. And okay, her name is not Glinda, it's Galinda right now.
Wait, what?
That's important. It's Galinda.
Galinda?
Yeah, Galinda, not Glinda
Galinda.
right now.
Oh, okay.
You'll see why it changed. Okay, so Galinda is a very like popular girl, stereotypical, conventionally attractive girl in the story, you would say. And so she is loved by her classmates and all around her. And then the headmistress, while she's welcoming Elphaba into the school, she decides to room off the shy Elphaba with Galinda, the popular girl.
Oh, so they're
Yeah, they're
roommates?
roommates, yeah. And so both of them initially really despise this roommate situation because Galinda doesn't want to be associated with the green girl, and Elphaba doesn't really like Galinda's shallowness and kind of her fakeness. So they both really don't like this situation. And in kind of a fit of rage, Elphaba shows off her magic skills because it was something to do with her sister called Nessa Rose. That's her name.
She has a sister?
Yeah, she and her sister, I will have to say, she is paraplegic, so she's in a wheelchair. And this is kind of important to the story. But anyways, she shows off her magic skills and then she wows a lot of people, including the headmistress who sees this. And then she's like, wow, Elphaba, you have such magical skills. You have potential. I need to invite you to this class of magic. And Galinda is really mad about that because she's always wanted to be in that class.
Wait, so Glinda doesn't have magic?
Well, she like, she does. I think she's like, she's not good at it. And
Oh.
no, I actually, I don't know. I don't think she does. She just wants to, though. She wants to learn, but she doesn't really have that natural ability. Elphaba has a
Oh.
raw magic talent. Like, she doesn't need a wand or anything. Like, she can just, do the magic. But then Galinda, I think she wants to be like a good witch, you know? And so when Elphaba gets invited to the class, Galinda is naturally very jealous of her. And so the story kind of starts off that way. And then they are kind of in competition mode because in their history class, they see each other, they really dislike each other. And their history class, this part is important, is taught by a talking goat.
What?
Yes. And so he's teaching off a lesson, and the students are listening, blah, 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 learning. And then towards the end of the class, Elphaba starts noticing something's off, like the teacher is struggling to talk a little, and then actually, I don't know if he's struggling to talk right at this moment, but there's something really weird going on. And then Elphaba approaches the teacher because she likes him, and she's like, oh, what's going on? And so he warns her about the animals of the land being silenced, them not being able to speak as easily. And so she's kind of, oh, maybe I should talk to the wizard about this if I ever see him. And the wizard in this case is like the Great Wizard of Oz. Everyone goes to him for help and then they come back like magically recovering, blah, blah, blah. So she is like, Elphaba is one of the people who wants to eventually visit the wizard. And so when she learns about this animals being silent situation, she wants to do something about it. So she keeps that in mind. But then nobody else, none of the other students really notice anything going on that is strange. So she's kind of the only one with this in mind. And then we're introduced to another character, and his name is Fiero. So he's this kind of, he's a prince, and he's a little rebellious. And he's, like, his parents enroll him in the school. And naturally, a lot of the girls like him, because I guess he's conventionally attractive. And Galinda is one of those girls, so she is charmed by him, and she wants to go to the upcoming dance with him. So she tries to talk to him and tries to become friends. And it works out in the end because he ends up asking her to the dance. And at the same time, Galinda has this munchkin admirer. His name's called Bok. And he's basically in love with Galinda. Galinda.
Wait.
Yeah.
So Fiero, in the movie, he's being played by the Bridgerton guy, right? I forgot his name.
In the movie.
Jonathan
Bailey.
And Bok, isn't he played by Ethan Slater?
What? I didn't know that.
Like Ariana's.
Is he? I don't know anything about the movie, sorry.
I know he played someone who had a lot of, stuff to do with Ariana's character.
I feel like Bok is quite a minor character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not very important. He's just a munchkin who likes Galinda. Yeah, but anyways, she does not like him back. And so, in an attempt to basically, divert his attentions from her, she diverts his attention and focus into Elphaba's sister, Nessa Rose. She basically tells Bok that her sister, Nessa Rose, wants a date to the dance, and she's in a wheelchair, you have to take pity on her, blah blah blah. So he ends up thinking that she needs him, and she goes to her instead. And
wait, who goes to who?
Bok.
Okay.
Bok goes to Nessa Rose, mm-hmm. because Galinda tried to match them up together so she could get his focus away and she could be with Fiero in peace. And so Nessa Rose actually likes Bok. She ends up really liking him, but he is kind of just doing this for Galinda.
Aww.
Yeah. And so the only reason he's going to the dance with her is because Galinda was like, oh, she needs your help. So Nessa Rose doesn't really know about this, and they're happy together, kind of, because he's just taking care of her. And so she's really happy, Nessa Rose, and she tells Elphaba that she should thank Galinda. So because of that, Elphaba's grateful. And then that's why Elphaba knows that Galinda wants to go to the magic class, right? So she talks to the headmistress. By the way, the headmistress's name is Headmistress Marble.
Is she also some sort of animal?
No. She's a human being. And so Elphaba talks to her about getting Galinda accepted into the magic class, and the headmistress does this. So Galinda's really happy, really surprised. And before she finds out about this, she sent Elphaba a little hat, a witch hat, and then the whole class laughed at her. And then she feels sorry later on, and so she wants to, I guess, help Elphaba.
Is this when the song
Popular comes on? Yeah. Basically, she's like, oh, I want to help you, Elphaba. You're so green, and you're one of the toughest cases out there, but I like helping those who are misfortunate than I. And let's face it, everyone's less fortunate than I. So the whole song comes on, and she tries giving Elphaba a makeover.
In what way? Her hair, her clothing?
Pretty much. She gives her hair a makeover, her clothing. She teaches her how to, flirt. She teaches her how to, be socially non-awkward, I guess. I don't know if it really works, but yeah. She basically makes her into a project. And that's when they start becoming friends.
This was one of the songs that you showed me, but when I listened to it, I thought she sounded a bit condescending.
So she's very condescending.
Does Elphaba realize that and doesn't care? Or is she completely under the guise that
Well, Elphaba at this point, she's just like this girl who's never really had many friends in her life. And so when Galinda is offering her help as a friend, then she's kind of excited to, you know, make her first friend. So it's like a new thing for her. And she's just like excited for the idea. So basically the makeover happens and they're both friends from this point on. And then we see in one of the next scenes that the talking goat, the history professor, he's actually taken away and he's replaced by a human being. Okay. And then Elphaba, she's very like shocked about this. She doesn't like it. She knows there's something strange going on, especially after the professor's warning. And then when the new teacher, he's talking about putting animals in cages, she's like, oh, there's something weird going on. I don't like that. And he's like, animals need to be put in cages. They need to be locked away. Humans are superior. Blah, 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 blah. You see where this is going, right?
Kind of. I think so.
Yeah. So she knows that there's something really weird going on. And once again, the idea of going to the wizard to fix this is instilled in her. And she is really determined. She wants to improve her magic. So she impresses the headmistress and eventually, you know, gets invited by the wizard. And so she's focusing on that. And then in one of the upcoming scenes after this, she sees a lion getting tested on.
Like,
so, by doctors, like by human beings, they're like testing on the lion.
Wait, testing what?
I don't know. They're testing something. They're like experimenting with it and like hurting it. The lion is in pain.
Oh.
And so when she sees this, she has a lot of raw magic. So she, like, a spell is basically released and everyone is frozen. And at this point in time, Pharaoh was kind of like following her. So he is with her when this whole thing happens, and like everyone else is frozen, I think. And so they basically work together to free the lion, and then they escape together. And then at this point, Elphaba's realizing, oh wow, Fear is such a great person. And then she finds herself liking him. And that's when the song I'm Not That Girl plays, one of my personal favorites. And I showed this to Santa as well. So it basically shows that she thinks he would never like someone like her and that they could never work out. And it's just like an unrequited romance kind of thing. Yeah. I think you like the song, but I could be wrong.
I do like it. This is one of your favorite songs of musical, right?
Yeah, one of my top three. So what do you think so far about everything that's happening?
So far, I did give my predictions to you about what happened, so I think I'm kind of off there by a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm really interested to see where this goes. This reminds me a lot of The School for Good and Evil, I feel like. Like, a lot of the plots with Sophie and Agatha and Tedros. I forgot his name for a second. And Tedros.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
We have a video on that, by the way, if you want to check that out.
One of our much older videos. Yeah. Do you have any predictions from this point on the rest of the movie?
Okay. I feel like Fiera's going to be in trouble, and then Elphaba has to, like, save him, and that's where he begins to fall for her.
Okay.
But then, you know, Galinda, she really thinks that she and Fiera have something really beautiful going on. She's telling Elphaba all of this. So Elphaba is trying to push Fiera away for Galinda's sake, but then Galinda maybe, like, backstabs Elphaba in some sort of way. And Elphaba's like, you know what? Screw you. Like, I don't care. And she's gonna tell Galinda the truth about her and Fear and their connection. And Galinda's gonna go ballistic and something's gonna happen there.
You think so lowly of Galinda?
Oh!
But we'll see how your prediction carries out. Okay, so after she and Fiero free the line together, we see that Madame Marble, like, she doesn't really know about the freeing of the line, but she notices Elphaba's great magic, and so she tells Elphaba that the wizard invited her to meet him, and so she's really excited, like, oh, maybe, you know, in one of her previous songs, The Wizard and I, also one of my personal favorites, she's like, oh, maybe he'll meet with me, he'll be so impressed, and then, like, we can work together, maybe he'll even de-greenify me, which isn't really important, but it kind of is to her, you know? And so she has all these ideas, especially with the animal situation going on. And so she's really excited to meet with the wizard and talk about maybe some change, helping the animals. So when she hears about this, she's really excited to go. And by that point, since she and Galinda are pretty close too, then she learns, invites Galinda to go along with her. So they go to meet the wizard together. So we flash forward to when they are inside the wizard's castle. It's exciting experience for both of them. And then they see the wizard himself. And when they do, they learn that the wizard is kind of a horrible person. He doesn't have any of the magic skills that he claimed. And he tricked Elphaba into performing a little spell for him. So he was like, oh, let me test your skills. Let me assess them. And then when she does it, she basically ended up putting a spell that makes a lot of the objects in the room his personal army. And so he basically has his own personal army of spies. And when Elphaba learns that he tricked her, she's obviously like, oh, this guy's a fraud. He's a scammer. Like, he needs to be put to a stop. And she also finds out at the same time that the wizard is behind the animals getting caged. It's basically a part of his campaign, okay? Like, a political campaign. He knows that a lot of the people, the humans, think they're superior to the animals. So he wanted to, like, lock up the animals in his campaign to show, wow, we're so superior. Vote for me, basically.
Wait, there's a campaign?
Well, like, the people need to support the wizard, right? In order to keep him in power. And so it's basically like he needs the support of the people. So that's why he pushed this anti-animal campaign.
This the same wizard from The Wizard of Oz?
Well, there's a lot of like spins in the story. So I wouldn't say it's the same one, but it's based off of him. Like in the real story, he wasn't powerful either. He didn't have the actual magic. So in this case, that's still him. But on top of that, he's like a coward with no magic, plus he's pushing this anti-animal campaign. So he's the one behind all this. Basically, after the wizard finds out that Elphaba and Glinda don't support this, he basically sends the his little army of minions after them from Elphaba's spell. And Elphaba wants to leave, but then Glinda... But actually, at this point, I should mention, she changed her name to Glinda because Fiero liked helping animals so much. And I think there was a whole thing about why she changed her name to Glinda for Fiero.
Wait, I'm confused. What does him liking animals have to do with her name being Glinda?
I forgot, to be honest, but there was something with that. Like, he wanted to help the animals, and I don't know. But she changed that. And so Glinda and Elphaba are trying to run off, and Elphaba wants to leave, but Glinda tells her, oh no, Elfie, you can't leave, like, our whole lives are here, and, you know, like, I can't follow you, blah, blah, blah. And so Elfie's like, it's okay, but I have to go off on my own. And then she sings Defying Gravity,
the song that I think I should know, right?
I'm sure you've heard of it.
Can you sing it?
Why are you putting all this on here? Like, it's time to try to find gravity.
That's not
I like singing. To try to find gravity.
Aren't you a vocal student? Do you know these things?
I do know these things. I'm gonna put it on for you later.
Okay.
But then she's like going through this whole self-revelation, and she ends up like leaving by doing a levitation spell on a broom. And so she flies away. And that's where they get the whole wish on the broom thing. And Glinda is basically, like, she helped her at this point. She was supportive, but she wouldn't leave her because her whole life was in the city. And so when Glinda goes back, the headmistress, Morrible, she denounces Elphaba as a wicked witch.
Wait, why?
Because she was going against the wizard. Yeah, and the wizard is, like, the political leader, basically. So everyone is, like, on a hunt for her.
Oh my.
Yeah, and that's where Act 1 ends off in.
Oh, that's kind of crazy. So even Glinda is also on the hunt for her?
Well, like, the thing is, she is supportive of her, but she can't, like, lose her reputation, you know? So she is seemingly on the hunt for her. And then Fiero joins a position as the leading guard in charge of finding her. So he can, like, find her and help her. Yeah.
Wait, so are he and Glinda, then, do they have something going on? Fiero and Glinda?
Well, you'll see. Oh. But I want to get your thoughts on Act 1.
I feel like this is, so much has happened. Like, I understand why the movie is doing a Part 1 and a Part 2. It's so much to fill in. I don't really know how this is gonna end. That's the thing. Like, is Elphaba going to use her magic to defeat the wizard or something? And I don't really know what's gonna happen with Glinda. Like, are Agatha? Are Elphaba and Glinda maybe gonna like combine their magic or something against the wizard? And I don't know how Fiero plays into all of this. So there's a lot to consider.
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, like when I was watching it, I didn't know anything that was going to happen, and I was very scared for Elphaba. But yeah, so that takes me to Act 2, and that starts with Fiero basically being on the charge, and Glinda, she is put as the leading speaker for the wizard.
Leading speaker? Oh, okay.
Like, the speaker, like, I guess, you know, in presidential structure, you have the president, and then you have people who speak on his behalf. That's basically what Glinda is. And so at that point, they call her Glinda the Good, because she's, like, good because she's associated with the wizard.
Propaganda.
Exactly. Putting history to you, Santa. And so she is like, to the public, she is against Elphaba. And so they're all like, munchkins, we need to find Elphaba and we need to hunt her down. And so everyone really dislikes Elphaba at this point. They've turned the whole land of munchkins against her. And then at this point, Nessa Rose, who was Elphaba's sister, she became the governor of the land.
Huh? Is there like a nepotism going on? Why is everyone related to these guys?
Yeah. It is definitely nepotism. But, well, her dad was the governor too, you know. So she was put in charge. And Elphaba actually goes to find Nessa Rose and basically tries to get her for help. But at this point, Nessa Rose has grown really bitter because Bok, do you remember him? He wants to leave her for Glinda.
Wait. Why does he want to leave her for Glinda? Why does Bok think that Glinda is going to
him? A little delusional, but he's never liked Nessa Rose in the first place. Like, the only reason he was with her was because of Glinda. Right, so at this point, like, Bok does not want to be with her anymore. He's grown tired. And also, Nessa Rose is a little, like, spoiled, I guess you would say. So it's not like she has a great personality, but when Elphaba comes back to her and tries to get help, she finds that her sister is pretty mad at her because she didn't use her magic to help her. I guess she kind of wanted, like, to keep Bok by her side. And so, the thing is, she took away Nessa Rose as governor. She took away the munchkins' few little remaining rights so that she could keep Bok with her.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
She, like, removed their right to leave people?
I think in some kind of way, like, she basically took away his ability to legally walk away from her.
That's insane.
Yes, it is. So, you can see why she's a little, you know, not a great person. And so, that's why when Elphaba comes back, she's really mad at Elphaba. Like, oh, why? You have all this magic. Why don't you help me? Even though Elphaba's, like, literally on the run from the wizard right now, and that shouldn't be on her mind. But, Elphaba feels a little guilty because of this. And so, she gives Nessa Rose silver shoes that give her the ability to walk.
Whoa.
Remember silver shoes from, like, the Wizard of Oz story? Where Dorothy has the silver shoes?
I thought they were red.
Yeah, they were ruby slippers. But here it was... No, in the original it was silver.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she gives her the silver shoes. And that gives her the ability to walk, so she's pretty happy. But then when Bok sees that she can walk, he's like, oh, she doesn't even need me anymore. She's not in a wheelchair, so he leaves.
And he's legally allowed?
I don't know. I think he didn't, like, want to stay anymore. Like, he was so done with her. And so he leaves. But then, she, Nessa Rose tries to put a spell on him, like a love spell, to make him stay. But she accidentally ends up shrinking his heart.
Oh.
So he's about to die. And then Nessa Rose, like, pleads for Elphaba to come back and help him. And so Elphaba is basically able to restore him as a tin man.
Oh!
Yeah. And so that's how the tin man is made. and he's like, I guess, like, really angry, really sorrowful. And Nessa Rose is also like, well, she knows he doesn't love her, but that's pretty much done with that. And then Elphaba goes off on her own again. When Elphaba goes back to the city, the wizard sees her and he tries convincing her that he's a good man, like a mediocre good man that just wanted to be a source of good and a source of light in, like, these people's eyes. So she's almost tempted by him, you know, to, like, join his side. He's like, oh, we can rule together, we'll make change. And she almost goes, but then she sees the doctor, like, the professor, the talking goat, in a cage, and he can't speak. And then she's like, these inhumane conditions they're doing, like, and she realizes that he's still a bad man. And so she refuses and leaves again. And then at this point, she meets with Fiero, like, they run into each other. And he's like, Elphaba! And she's like, Fiero! And then they rejoice. And then he decides to, like, run off with her, like, run away together.
Wow.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention, but before they found Elphaba, Glinda, the good, she and Fiero had made a plan to marry each other.
Wait, why?
Basically because, I guess they wanted to do it for the public appearance, basically, but she still liked him, you know? At least the image of him.
Oh, okay, so then he's, like, abandoning the wedding to run away?
Well, they didn't really plan a wedding at this point, but he just, like, he doesn't care about, like, he's never liked Glinda like that. And so he goes off with Elphaba. And then Glinda finds out about this, and she feels betrayed, she feels hurt. And so she tells the headmistress a plan to trap Elphaba. So she goes against her friend, you know, at this point. And the plan is basically to have a rumor being spread around Munchkinland that Nessa Rose was in trouble. So that would get Elphaba to come back and help her. But the headmistress and the wizard don't think that's enough. They think, oh, we need to do something worse. We need to get Elphaba back here. And so what ends up happening is they summon up a tornado.
What?
To have a house fall down on Nessa Rose's head, and it kills her.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And Glinda doesn't know about this. She just thought they were going to spread the rumor.
Wait, it's like in The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy comes and
yeah.
The house has fallen on the...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, there's a lot of little twists in this musical. But Elphaba finds out about this. And while she and Fiero are singing a song together in the musical, and they're like, wow, it's all like cute romantic love. She has a sense, a feeling that her sister is in danger. And she was right because she returns to find that her sister is dead with the house dropped on her.
That's crazy. I feel like she would have come just from the rumor. What is the need for this whole tornado?
I agree. The headmistress and the wizard are truly evil beings. Yeah, so at that point, her sister is found dead. And then she goes back into the city. And by the way, there was a reprise of I'm Not That Girl sung by Glinda because she was like, Pierre's never gonna love me, and it's like a twist on it. But so Elphaba's back and she runs into Glinda, and Fiero's along, like, with her. So he basically holds Glinda hostage.
What?
So that Elphaba can run off and leave.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Elphaba escapes at this point, and Elphaba and Glinda had a whole fight too, and they still left on pretty much bad terms. And this whole time, there was also Elphaba cast a spell so that Fiero could be invincible, okay? And however, he ends up getting killed. And so she's very sad, you know? And she,
wait, Fiero dies?
Fiero dies.
What?
Yeah. And so she's very sad and she sings No Good Deed because she thinks that everything in her life that has that she's tried to do for good, it's been misconceived as an act of evil. So, like, no good deed. And so she's basically given up on everything. And she's very sad. And she accepts that she's the Wicked Witch of the West. Like, she's accepted the title they've bestowed upon her by, I guess, all the hates they've been spreading towards her. And so, like, Fiero was her last straw. That's very sad. As the audience, like, you're also very moved by that. Do you have any predictions for us at this point?
Fiora is dead. Okay, I feel like Alphaba will have so much rage from this moment that she, and she's like embracing her being the Wicked Witch or whatever, right? So mm-hmm. I feel like she might do something like really. Oh, wait, who was holding Glinda hostage if Fiora is dead?
Oh, well, he was until that point, but then they got to him.
Oh, okay.
The guards.
I think Alphaba is going to use her magic to find the wizard, and I think. I don't know. I feel like she might do something with Glinda. Like, oh, Glinda, you always wanted me to be the Wicked One. Here I am, or something. And she's gonna try and do something. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's gonna be like a trap set up by Glinda and the wizard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good predictions. We'll see how accurate you are. So basically, at this point, Glinda does a little investigating of her own and finds out that Madame Morrible is in charge for having the tornado summed up and killing Ness and Rose. So she realizes she's been on the wrong side because she'd never wanted this to happen.
Oh, yay, Glinda.
Yeah, so she's like, oh, I need to go against her. Like, this is not okay. But then Madame Morrible knows that she knows. So she threatens her. And she's like, Glinda, you're going to lose your whole reputation. Think about this, blah, blah, blah. And so they had that little squabble. And Glinda is trying to just, she wants to find Alphaba and help her. And she does not care about what Madame Morrible is saying, so that is good for her. And then, while this is going on, Alphaba returns to her sister's place, and she finds out that her sister had this servant, a girl named Dorothy. And so she had given the shoes to Dorothy, Nessa Rose. So she wanted to find the shoes, and Alphaba did. And so she goes after Dorothy and she basically takes her hostage.
Oh god, wait, Dorothy?
Yeah, servant.
Like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, it's a little spin on it once again. But she basically holds Dorothy hostage and she wants the shoes. And so at this point, Glinda finds her again. She's like, Alphaba, don't do this. Like, Alfie, you're better than this, blah, blah, blah. And so they do forgive each other, but then Alphaba still insistent on keeping Dorothy.
Oh.
Yeah. And so at least, you know, they forgive each other now. And so they leave off on a point where they're both on good terms. And Alphaba tells Glinda, you should not try cleaning your name. Like, just pretend you hate me and it's okay. I'll live my life on the run. And so Glinda's like, no, I don't want to do that. And then they have this really cute moment and they sing For Good. Do you know it?
No.
Oh my god, Jamie is
showing a newbie. I don't know anything.
They're such moving songs. Even before I saw the musical, I think when I was in theater club in grade 7, we sang it. And it was like, I loved the song from that point
on. You had a theater club?
Yeah, middle school. It was so fun.
Were you guys... Did you put on then the play of Wicked?
No, we had like a bunch of different songs. Like we had Hercules, I Won't Say I'm in Love. We had some scene from The Muppets, a song from that. And then like a whole bunch of different songs. And a Hairspray song, actually.
Oh.
Good Morning, Baltimore. That's very off topic. But yeah, For Good is so good. I'm going to show you it after. And so they basically leave off. And then they're like, because I've known you, I've been changed for good. And, you know, you're very moved by the characters at this point, and you're very happy for them. But Dorothy is really mad at Alphaba, okay? So before, there was a rumor that if you throw water on top of Alphaba, she'll like melt away and die. And so Dorothy grabs a bucket of water and she throws it on Alphaba, and then she melts away.
Wait, so the rumor is true?
Yeah. And so all that's left of Alphaba is a little elixir, I think, that her mother gave her before her mother died, and her broom, or her hat, one of those things. Now that Alphaba has died, Glinda wants to restore the honor of her friend, right? So she wants to keep doing her work, and so she goes to the wizard with the elixir that remained, and she confronts him with it, and he recognizes it. And so, at this point, you as the audience and Glinda find out that the wizard was a traveling salesman. The mother had a bear.
Wait, yeah.
So he was Elphaba's father.
Wait, but why is she green?
I don't know. I think it could have been something with the elixir.
What did he?
Well, he can't do magic. But yeah, for some reason she turned green. But yeah, he's the father of Elphaba.
But he didn't know.
No, he didn't know. Yeah.
Whoa.
So when he finds the elixir, he knows that it's the mother. Like, that elixir was pretty important.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And so it's like a very shocking twist of the story. And so, yeah, like, the elixir was the cause of her green skin.
But how?
I don't know. I guess it was like a magical elixir. And I forgot the details of this, but that's why. The wizard is, like, obviously sad that he, like, his daughter is dead. His only remaining kin. And Madame Morrible notes that this was why Elphaba was so powerful, because she came from both worlds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she was, like, a very powerful little girl. A prodigy, basically. And Glinda, being a person of power, now arrests the wizard and Madame Morrible for killing Nessa Rose, and so they're locked away and done with. So, another shocking turn of the story, Pharaoh is not dead.
Wait, what?
He's a scarecrow.
Huh?
You know that spell that I told you about that Elphaba used to make him invincible?
Yeah.
So, the guards killed him, but then, since she put the spell on, he was a scarecrow, you know?
Oh.
And they all thought he died, so now he's a scarecrow. Yeah.
Like a talking scarecrow?
A talking scarecrow.
Like a scarecrow? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's where it's coming from. Yeah. You have the Tin Man, the Lion, and the Scarecrow. And so he knocks on the floor, this one floor, and then Elphaba comes out of it.
Huh?
It turns out she had faked her own death.
Wow, Elphaba.
Yeah, I know. So she did not actually melt away. That was just a rumor. And they run off together and live happy ever after. And Glinda, being the good witch, she tells everyone, oh, the wicked witch is dead. Because the munchkins still hate her. And so she has her reputation to uphold. And so she lives her life as the good witch, Glinda the Good. And Elphaba and Fear run away together, living their life.
So Glinda and Elphaba never speak again?
No.
Oh.
It's a very sad story.
It's kind of crazy how everyone, like, died and then came back to life. Surprise. Very Riverdale of them.
That's very true. Jughead Core.
How did you feel? Like, because you saw it on Broadway at the end.
I didn't know they were going to come back. I was especially sad for Fiero because I was, like, Elphaba had finally found one person she connected with and he, like, died saving her life. But then I find out that he turned into a scarecrow. It was also a little sad because he was no longer, like, a human being, but, like, a scarecrow.
Oh, wait, they didn't turn him back?
No, they couldn't.
So he's just a scarecrow forever?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
And you know what was really sad? Like, Glinda, she was left all alone.
Hmm.
Her friend, like, Elphaba had gone away, and Pharaoh was no longer there. So she was basically just taking on the role of ruling the land on her own.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. And so, I guess your lovely views of Glinda didn't work out of the
end. I feel so bad now. She turned out to be, she was a real one. I should have not doubted her so much.
No, you should not have. But yeah. And that's where No One Mourns the Wicked comes from. Because everyone thinks that Elphaba's died. Nobody knows that she's still alive.
I can't believe this is it. For some reason, I kept thinking, like, there's going to be some other twist or some other turn because there's been so many so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a couple questions. Mm-hmm. May I ask?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay, so basically, after Madame Morrible and the wizard get arrested and stuff, is Glinda just the ruler of the entire kingdom all on her own?
Pretty much, yeah. Because she's, like, Glinda the Good Witch. Oh, and I think I made a mistake. The part they sang for good was when Elphaba was going to run away with Pharaoh, not before. So now, like, they know they're both never going to see each other again. It can't happen. And that's when they sang for good. And it ends off. That's the final song.
Also, what happens to Dorothy again?
Dorothy? You don't really know much about her. She just throws the water on Elphaba and runs away, I guess. Yeah. What do you think?
I really invested. Like, I do want to see the Broadway music. I listen to the songs, of course. I feel like after you mention all this, I do want to see how this works in musical format.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I think I hope that you are able to watch it and enjoy it like I did. Although, like, you're going to know what's going on, but so I think it's a very good experience to have.
I mean, the plot is so interesting. There's so much stuff going on. So many crazy things that happen.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think, like, this when it came out was really not popular at all. A lot of people weren't going, and it was seen as a kind of a failure at first.
When did it get popular then?
I think the original musical...
Well,
actually, I'm not sure. But at some point, it became, like, pretty well known.
Also, are they teenagers, like, in high school for all of this?
Yeah.
Oh my god, so that's like if we had to go through something like that, like people our age.
Yeah, pretty much. It's also, like, Glinda has put in a lot of responsibility from a young age, too. So, yeah, I feel for her.
We should maybe do a video on the movie then, now that we've done one on this one.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what they do with it. It'd be cool to compare, too.
In 2 months' time.
I hope they're able to, like, portray the same emotions, I guess, that you felt as the audience watching the musical.
And I want to hear the singing. Like, obviously, Ariana is going to be great, and I'm sure... Who else? Cynthia? I'm sure she'll be great. I've never heard the Bridgerton man sing, but I'm sure he's also, like, talented.
I heard a clip of him singing. It was very good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, very excited. But that's still part one, so I think it's going to end off on Divine Gravity. And then part two will come out maybe a year or two later.
Or three or four. We don't even know anymore in this film / show industry.
Yeah, but the musical should keep you going. It's very good.
I think that's it for today.
Yeah. If there's anything else we should do like this, where we explain the plot, let us know. Because I think we're both on different sides of a few films / shows. So yeah, it would be fun to do more like these.
Agreed.
Yeah, so
thank you.